came to medicine after an illness experience I had as a kid. It wouldn't have been on my radar. It was a pretty serious diagnosis, and it involved major surgery, and as it turned out, the surgeon who operated on me and saw me in follow-up for the next year and a half was still probably the most human person, let alone physician, I've ever met. I never saw him look at my charts, and he came in, and I wasn't just this weird diagnosis. I was a person. He asked me what my favorite classes were in school. You know, I was like 13, 14 years old, and so I really felt like he cared about me. And that's why I thought about medicine. I've always been really into the arts and the humanities and reading and writing in particular. And so I thought I would jump into a career based on that. And what I'm learning is that I am in a career based on that. It's becoming more and more clear to me that reading and writing are such important tools, which is why I love narrative medicine. I love what Rita Sharon does. And I bring the skills I learned as an English literature major in college to every patient encounter. What I did in college, learning how to do close readings and to analyze pieces of literature, I feel that I can do that with a patient's story in a way that can not only help me make the right diagnosis, but also deepen the therapeutic relationship and even help the patient. Just being able to immerse myself in a patient's story, to be able to connect with them by identifying those small cues that you might miss on the surface, I think has really helped me build rapport with my patients, which is nice. But when I sit down to write my notes or to write my histories and physicals, it occurs to me that I'm telling their story. And it's a cool privilege to have, but my training and background in literature kind of reminds me of the responsibility that that entails. And I use it from anything to when I'm writing my H&P for a grade and, you know, I'm trying to make a case for a diagnosis. You know, I'm trying to be a little bit more persuasive writing. But also identifying what's really important to the patient and how that might be missed in my translation of their story on the paper. The rotation I've had thus far in my clinical education now that really highlighted this for me was my pediatric cardiology elective. And it was such a wonderful elective because not only did I see kids, I got to see adults too, all who have congenital heart disease. And these are people who've been living with this their whole lives, and they have these rich narratives. You know, it's not something that is isolated or confined to the hospital. It's their whole life. And I saw a woman in her 40s one day, and she had recently undergone surgical repair of her congenital heart defect. And so we were talking about that, and it comes out that she had been missing her cardiac rehab appointments, had maybe not been the most adherent with taking her medicines. And so we explored a little bit more about what was going on. With all my patients, I try to ask about their mood and, you know, how things are on that front. And we started talking about that, and she admitted to me that she was severely depressed, felt guilty that, you know, she is on disability, and just really was struggling. And, you know, that once we talked about it, it was obvious that this was why she was missing her appointments. But had I not kind of picked up on those subtle cues listening to her story, we might not have talked about it, and I could have written her off. And what was cool about that is I felt like I had a better listen to her while we were sitting and talking than I did when I actually went through and did my physical exam and listened to her heart with my stethoscope. You know, I think it's easy sometimes for us to recognize patterns in medicine and to kind of make our patient stories fit the patterns that we have in our heads. And what I try to do is bring a fresh perspective to each patient encounter and realize that every patient has a unique story and that it's my job to listen to them and to be the teller of their story in order to help them. I think a lot of people don't know what narrative medicine is. You know, I certainly didn't. I kind of stumbled upon it in my medical anthropology class as an undergraduate, and it was so funny. I was reading a lot of Rita Sharon writes, a lot of other work, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is my jam. These are my people. One of my thoughts in my last year of medical school coming up, which is kind of crazy, is to do work with the medical humanities area of concentration at Pitt. Our areas of concentration are like med school minors, is how I explain them to people. And I've been part of the medical humanities one. I do plan more school-wide events through the area of concentration to not bring awareness, but I think the ways in which we can use narrative medicine and the medical humanities to not only deepen our relationships with our patients, but also as means of self-care are really important. And I think that comes through with the anthology project I'm working on. So I've been involved with the AMHSA Medical Humanities Scholars Program, and I'm working with three anthology projects. We solicited submissions. I sent out emails to various listservs and things, and we eventually got submissions from medical students from all over the world. Creative pieces, some short nonfiction, art, poetry, you name it, we got it. And it was so mind-blowing to me that, you know, medical students are engaging with the medical humanities, whether they know it or not. You know, trying to find the deeper meaning in their patient encounters, trying to work through the more difficult quandaries that we come through in our medical training and some of the horrible things we see, trying to make sense through that, through the use of writing, through the use of art. Even if it feels like sometimes the human part of our training isn't always at the forefront and it doesn't seem like there's time and things are crazy, I think that the wheels are turning, and I think that people are trying to process and have these sort of whether internal monologues or, like I said, putting pen to paper. I think students do engage with narrative medicine, but they just might not know it, and I'd like to help them know it and hopefully get them to be more conscious of it, because I think it really can help us become better physicians. On rotations where I'm working 14 hours a day and I'm just trying to survive and I'm just, you know, being and just kind of rolling with the punches, it occurs to me that those are the times where I probably need the medical humanities and narrative medicine the most, not just to prevent burnout, but I'll bring those deeper connection patients. And even as I'm talking right now, I'm thinking back to those busier rotations and thinking about the privileges I had as a medical student, you know, not having as much responsibility, able to spend more time with my patients. So I think medical school is a really crucial time to be engaged in these sorts of exercises and thinking about your questions of, you know, how do I see myself as a practicing doctor? How will I take care of myself? How will I take care of my patients? And I think medical school is a great time to do that.
Inside Stories is an oral narratives project that catalogs the stories of medical students during their journeys through medical school. The podcast is hosted on In Training, the online magazine for medical students. Visit us at in-training.org/inside-stories. Inside Stories is a founding member of Vocalis, the podcast network for medical students. Please listen to our partner podcasts at vocalisnetwork.wix.com/listen.